live.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Wendy Ying.
And I am Glenda Geek from Martin's Carriage Auction in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 14th, 2011, episode number 250, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Horses in the Morning. I am here with my co-host today, Dr. Wendy Ying. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's so much fun. We are here at the Martin's Carriage Auction in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and Jamie is off doing an event this weekend, so she's out there in Phoenix and competing this weekend. She'll be back on Monday morning. But we are actually broadcasting live in amongst a whole bunch of carriages here at the auction, and we're going to tell you all about it. We have a lot of great guests, some real characters in the carriage community lined up, and the first one, I think, is going to be the biggest character of them all.
Yeah.
that's not you, Karen. but first, Wendy, why don't you introduce our first guest here, and we'll talk about
this. Our first guest is Karen Martin, and she and her husband, Polly, run the Martin's Carriage Auction here. It's your 40th year. Correct, for the carriage auction?
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you so much for having us, Karen. And why don't you give us a little bit of information about your auction?
We're happy to have you. This is our 40th year. We have two a year. We have people from all over the world and all over the 50 states that come. They've turned into great customers and great friends. So, and some of them are characters, as you'll meet in just a few minutes. So.
And how many carriages do you think you have in the auction today?
Probably today we have close to 200 in the catalog session, and then tomorrow we'll have over 200 out in the field.
Oh, wow. And you also have, like, saddles and appointments and all that.
Yes. Friday after the carriages, we have the appointments, which is top hats, lamps, harness, some of the nicer things that you find on your coach or carriage, spares, kits, livery, boots. And then tomorrow we'll have the field session, which can consist of saddles of all kinds, harness, bridles, and anything agriculture-related in the roads.
So how many auctioneers do you have going tomorrow?
Tomorrow we could have up to 5 auctioneers going at the same time.
Oh, that's exciting.
And what's your job here other than just going crazy?
That's a nice way
to put it. She keeps Polly in line.
That's a nice way to put it. We also represent Cooley Carriages of Germany. We're the North and South American representative. So that's my job over in a separate section, is representing Cooley at the auction.
And then Cooley Carriages are competition carriages?
They are. They pleasure, competition, training. They do, you know, mainly cater towards high-level competition, but also have training-level carriages too.
I have to tell you that we were walking around here yesterday, and I posted some pictures on our Facebook page at Driving Radio Show. If you want to go to Facebook and look at Driving Radio Show, there are some unusual vehicles there this year, one that Wendy and I had never seen before. And I've been coming for 20 years, probably. Wendy's been coming for 10. So the embalmer's wagon over here was one I've never seen before. That's an unusual one.
Anything can show up. We do have probably one. You think you've seen one of every kind, and then, like you said, something else shows up. So it's nice to find those rare things still.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are carriages everywhere. This sale will go on all day, and it's like, if I give everybody sort of the description, if you've ever watched the Barrett Jackson car auction, they wheel the cars up onto the top, and that's the way you guys do it. You wheel the carriage and wagons up onto a stage, and then does the stage rotate?
Turntable.
Yeah.
Turntable. Yes, it is.
And there's a huge audience, and there's everybody buying and selling.
Wendy, how many carriages have you bought here?
Oh, my God. But I brought my car this year because I'm not buying anything.
Yeah.
Although I keep getting these emails. Are you at Martin?
Guess where our hotel is located? Right beside the U-Haul. Where? Yes, right beside there.
That works.
And at the end of the show, I'll tell everybody about the quality accommodations that Wendy booked for us on this trip,
yeah,
too.
That's
Thank you, Karen. I know you're busy and have things to do. We appreciate you having us here. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you. We appreciate you being here. Have a good day.
Thank you,
Karen.
All right. So, Wendy, we did get a chance to walk around yesterday. There are a mix of wagons, carriages, competition vehicles, just a little bit of everything.
You know, I think one of the most fun things is I love walking around and seeing some of the carriages that have people's initials on them, because then you can, you know, everybody wants to know who's selling what. So I have this friend, Barry Dickinson, who is my carriage advisor, and also I just love talking to him. So I call him, like, at least twice a month, and I called him and I said, oh, this caulking cart, and here are the initials on it. So I had to send him pictures, and, you know, Barry knows everybody. So it's kind of fun for us all to see who's buying and selling on.
There is one unique one that you'll find a picture of, and Jennifer just was looking at the pictures. Our producer, who is back at the studio, she was looking at the pictures, and there's one unique vehicle that picture of Wendy and the guy who designed it. He's going to be on with us on the driving
Swanson's
show, I
think.
Oh, yeah,
on the driving show, Swanson Chapel, and he designed a candy wagon.
Bright yellow.
And they showed it at Walnut Hill this year. He was second at the commercial class in Walnut Hill, and it's here at the sale. It's really a popular item. I've seen everybody taking their pictures next to it. So.
And it's full of candy.
It's full of candy.
Which is the best part.
Hey, he knows how to bribe people with wanting his stuff. Once you eat enough candy, you'll just start bidding on it.
Well, let's introduce our first guest here.
Okay, our first guest also has a fantastic item in the sale. He is Charlie Poppy. He drives Hackney ponies, and he also has the
we'll
Hearst.
We'll forgive you for that.
I
had a Hackney.
We were taking pictures in his Hearst earlier, and it was his Hearst that we got that. So welcome, Charlie.
Well, thank you for having me.
There is pictures actually on our Facebook page that we posted this morning of your Hearst and peeking through the back.
Yeah.
One of the things when Jennifer and I first started coming to the years ago, most people that don't have carriages or have no relation to carriages or ride or that kind of thing, by the way, that one's beautiful. That's my color. Hunter Green just went by.
Yeah.
There's carriages driving by our table, so I'm like, squirrel! We were shocked that there were some hearses in the world, but they're coming back into vogue again. Funerals are going to use them again.
Last year I did 6 funerals, and the year before that I did. And it's amazing how many people want to go back to it. It caught on in England very few years ago, and now it's come over to this country. And I know a fellow who's up in New England who's done over 300 in the last year.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Why are you selling yours, by the way, which it is absolutely beautiful? And is there a name for it?
It was built by the Brunel Company in Massachusetts. It was built in 1883, and it was owned by the Thornton family in they were the inverse of it. They had 9 funeral homes in Sindelheim, West Virginia. And Mr. Thorne died, almost 20 years ago. Been restored, put back to its original condition. Has the original lamps on it.
Oh, the lamps are beautiful.
Yes. The lamps are almost 4 feet tall. You measure them from top to bottom to 44 inches.
I actually took a posted a picture of the lamps because they're just unique. Now, what is the thing on the top of the lamp represent?
It's called a draped urn that's on the urn and vase and drape on it. And what it symbolizes was death, because if you go back to the Bible, they would use scented oils and things on the body when it would be laid out. Then they would drape in the body. So it's very symbolic.
Oh.
And if you'll notice on top of the lamps, they also have in solid silver the same vase and urn pattern also.
Let's talk a little bit about that before we go on. I'm sorry, Wendy.
No, go ahead.
About lamps, because people that, again, the one other thing we were shocked at is how much money lamps, and that's the little square lamp charges. Everybody's seen them.
Yeah.
But they go for unbelievable amounts of money. What is the appeal for lamps?
Well, first of all, there are people today who are building new vehicles, but very, very few people who are making new lamps. It's almost a lost art with all the beveling and the metalwork that's involved in it. We have probably close to 100 pairs in our museum. My wife and I collect historical vehicles. And we try to keep as many of them as original as possible.
And where is your museum?
In Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Is it really? Come up and see it.
You certainly can.
Let's go.
Well, yeah. Lexington up there.
When's it open? Is it open?
Anytime I'm home, which is all the time.
We could do the driving radio show from his museum.
Oh, let's do
at
that.
At the back of a hearse.
Let's do that. That'd be fun. Are you selling this one because you just have so many hearses?
Well, what happened is, since we're both retired, we've... Yeah. Move to smaller quarters, and we're going down to we want to try to get down to about 35 or 40 vehicles.
Wow.
So are you, what's the most unusual vehicle you say you have?
Ooh, that would be a tough one. I have two of President Roosevelt's vehicles. I have their Victoria and their King George IV, Lady Spaton.
Oh, I love those.
And I have two of Alfred Vanderbilt's. I have his Stanhope pony, and I have his Parkgate gig. I have Jimmy Cagney, who was the entertainer. I have his sleigh.
Definitely need to take a field trip. This sounds really fun.
It would be fun for your Kentucky group to come up this
Describe a phaeton for us that don't know what a phaeton is, because you hear that term when it's described with the fancy carriages.
Well, that's a very loose term.
Okay.
Because a phaeton family comprises so many. It can be a two-passenger vehicle. It can be a four- or six-passenger vehicle. Generally, most of the phaetons, if it's a four-passenger, the driver's seat will sit higher than the passenger seat in the back. Most of them have lovely curved lines to them.
You can see with the Queen's carriages,
yes,
for instance.
Yes. Now, there you're different, because most of the Queens are Ascot Landaus, which would bring company in London, England. And there is a very lovely Landau in the sale today.
And which carriages will go for the most money here today?
I would imagine that the three big sellers today will be the Park Drag that's here that was built by A.T. Demarest.
And that's, describe a Park Drag.
The Park Drag was the private coach of the family. This was used for going to the hunt, going social events. They would use them for vacation. If you open the back of the Park Drag, you'll find big chest inside of it. They were lined in zincs, so they could put ice in their food. They would have in their champagne. They would have another compartment to carry all the china and their silver and their crystal, and another one for all the food to keep it warm.
Wow. Okay. And then you said the others that will go high, you think?
The other two, hopefully, will be the hearse.
Yeah.
And as I said, there's a beautiful Landau here.
Now, when we talk about high, what do you expect for your hearse?
I would like to get 40,000.
40,000.
Wow.
I just got goosebumps.
Now, I don't know how you can sell that hearse, because you have a great story associated with that hearse.
Well,
about your mother.
My mother's 90th birthday, we had a command performance where all my brothers, sisters, all the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren were all at our house, so I delivered my mother in the hearse. She thought it was great. My brothers didn't.
That is kind of sick.
And We even had a silk calla lily for her.
And did your mother drive? Is that how you got into driving?
No. My mother can't understand why. She said, we worked all our lives to get you kids off the farm, and you turned around and went right back. But I've always had love of horses. I showed hunter jumpers and fine harness ponies years ago. And then
what led you to Hackney? Are you Hackney horses or ponies?
Well, I have actually they're Hackney cows.
Ponies. Okay.
I had shown fine harness ponies 40 years ago, and after that we had Welsh cobs and Morgans for years, and we drove pairs, singles, and four hands of those. And two years ago, I decided to donate all of our Welsh cobs to the Driving for the Disabled because I'd broke them all to voice commands. And they were getting some age on, a little long in the tooth.
Well,
and I wanted
that,
to put,
by the way, thank you for that. That's great.
And the kids are having a ball with them. And I still go up and I retune the ponies and put them all together as a four occasionally. But I just wanted to, I thought, well, I'll buy one Hackney. My wife looked at me, she said, do you remember when you sold your last one? She said, the day you sold your Viceroy and you sold the last pony? I said, yes. And she said, well, that was years ago. Now you're old and you're stupid. Now we have a four in hand of them, and we're having a ball with them. They're wonderful ponies.
I'll tell you what, I owned a Hackney, so I know what they're like, and it is like driving. For anybody that hasn't had the opportunity to drive a Hackney, it's the difference between driving a minivan and a Ferrari. The Hackney is the Ferrari.
Yes, it is.
There's one speed thing.
We do 7 miles every morning.
And they need that.
And, yes.
And you don't I do just, 7 miles just, every morning.
Every day. And I have to just keep them calm.
Yeah.
And they love it.
Now, do yours like Sterling's Hackneys? Do yours rear in the front and the back?
Oh, yeah. They settle right down. They're just playful. That's what I love about them.
They're
wonderful personalities.
Good word.
They're jumping for joy.
I have to tell you, I loved that little pony. I just did. She just was so much fun. Farrier didn't think so.
Oh, now my fairy loves mine.
Really? Yeah. Well, mine would stand straight up on the back two legs the entire time. He said doing the front was difficult.
Tell him to get some super good. Put those on real quick.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie, thank you so much for being here with us. It was great to hear.
You were asking before about the unused baller's wagon that we have in the sale.
Is that you?
Yes. And
no, it
you
is.
Have
yes,
all
is.
The sick stuff.
Yes. That's kind of now I'm getting to that age where I need it for myself.
Now, was that actually an embalmer's wagon?
Yes, and tonight they're going to sell all the – we have the case that has all the original equipment in it.
All right, we have to go see that. We have to be done with the radio show by the time the embalmer's wagon.
I have to say that in all the years that you've been coming here, and we've never seen an embalmer's wagon.
That's right. It's the only one I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it looks like a pickup truck. It's a pickup truck, is basically.
And literally, that's what it was.
Yeah, it really does.
And right next to it is a wagon. They would go to the house, and they would take a wicker coffin, because they would use the marine gallon and pick the body up. So the air would circulate, and then they would put the final coffin would go in that. And then once the funeral, then they'd switch to the hearse.
This is great talk for Friday morning. Welcome to breakfast.
Thanks so much, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
See you. Good luck, Al. Okay, our next guest is a very good friend of mine, Burger Bob Koopman, who actually was in Slovenia with us at the Pony Championship. And he, from the kindness of his heart, took me in and saved me from having a shower with Hungarians in public. So we're happy to have Bob here. And he's also called Burger Bob because you always wanted to park next to Bob at the horse shows because he's always making yummy burgers.
He was the one you were telling me about.
Yeah. He also makes bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches for breakfast.
You have a reputation.
That's a specialty.
So, Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. It's going to be a chore to follow Charlie. He sounded very interesting, you know. So I hope I'm as interesting as Charlie.
I think we can probably stop talking about horses now.
Yeah, and getting back to the hamburgers, at the World Championships, they have what they call as a Nations Night.
Right.
And this was in Slovenia.
This was in Slovenia, and they have it every year at the ponies and at the horses. And it's really all the countries bring all the different foods from the different countries. And this year, usually Philip and Judy Needs from Sarasota, they run the Old Salty Dog restaurants. They usually bring ribs, but they couldn't get them shipped from Denmark down. And so we decided to do hamburgers. So it was very appropriate for us. We were doing hamburgers, and it worked out really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what happened was not many people had a lot of food. They had a lot of drinks. And
well, there was reindeer sausage, remember?
Yeah, yeah, they had reindeer sausage. And they had the fish from Norway there, you know. That
every
was really nice.
Every kind of grilled herring you could ever want to eat.
But I think what might be interesting is I was the back step for Lisa Stroud.
Which means you were the guy, crazy guy in the back.
The way back.
The go back.
And on a forehand, it's a little more difficult because you can't lean against anything. You have to hang on to the bars.
And Bob, also, she drives ponies. So her carriage, she drives big ponies, but still, her carriage, her back step is tiny. Like, it's not made for big people.
There isn't much room in there.
And he was on there with Coaster Ron, who's another big Dutch guy.
Yeah, two big Dutchmen are on the back of this carriage, so there wasn't much room back there, you know. In fact, his wife thought I had my nose in his butt all day long. And it's just about the experience of going over, and we went over in the 11th of August, and the competition was, I think, the 16th, 17th through the 21st.
Yeah,
but we went over and did some competitions in Europe. We stayed at Costa Ronda's barn, which was absolutely a great place to stay. It's right outside of Rotterdam. And then we did I thought what would be interesting is talk about, well, we did a show in Bees, and they called it a small show. It was a two-day. You did dressage cones.
Right.
And they had 213 entries.
Oh, my God.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah, for those who don't know, most of our driving shows, like 80 entries would probably be max.
Our biggest show that just happened was in at the Laurels in Pennsylvania, and we only had like 52 entries.
Right.
And that's the biggest show, one of the biggest shows in the U.S.
Yeah.
And what was interesting is what they did was a two-day, which all of us know we do dressage cones one day, and they did training and prelim on Thursday, dressage and cones. And they call it 1, 2, 3, 4. We call it training, prelim, intermediate, advanced. They call it 1, 2. So they did 1, 2 on Thursday, dressage cones, and 1, 2 did the marathon on Friday and went home. They were all done. And on Friday, the 3-4s did dressage cones while the 1-2s were doing a marathon.
Right.
And then on Saturday, they did the marathon. And we went home Saturday night. Well, I didn't get a plane back to the U.S. until Tuesday because I thought we were back on Monday and we could unload. So I had an extra day, which was kind of nice. But what another interesting is most of the 1-2s, what we call training prelim, were all on pneumatic tires.
Oh, really?
And in the U.S., you know,
and
we frown upon pneumatic.
Like the air-filled tires.
We use wooden. We use the wooden.
Well, we use
wheels.
The solid rubber.
Solid rubber, okay, right.
And 90% of the 1-2s had pneumatic tires. Now, you know, I mentioned that to the American Driving Society people in the American Driving Society. We got to do something about that. They said the rule came up when everybody had these very inexpensive bicycle tires, pneumatic tires. Now the sport is changing, so I think they really need to change that rule. I even saw a pair of horses that had pneumatics on the back and solids on the front.
Oh,
you know, I don't know why. I don't know what the deal is with that.
Maybe they're saving their money to get pneumatics.
And actually, the venue at Bees was where they had the 2008 Fornhin Championships.
Oh, wow.
Or 2005, I think.
Right.
And they had pipes going around with water coming down in the water hazard. So the water was shooting down.
Oh,
you know,
God.
As you're going through, there'd be streams
that
coming down on the side. So it was very, very nice. Yeah.
That sounds
and
fun.
And all the land is owned by a baron, you know, so he has it there. And they had a, you know, like a garden show there at the same time. So it was very festive. They had a lot of old tractors, you know, like in the U.S., a tractor club or an old car club.
Right.
So it was very interesting. But
hey, Bob, speaking of old cars, that reminds me of something. You're a car collector also, aren't you?
Model Ts mostly.
Because I love watching you drive around in that. Is that the Model T that you drive
around? Yeah, that's the Model T. That's a 26er.
Oh, wow.
Now, we usually do that. We'll do the, if they have it, we do the marathon drive, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, Bob, when you are driving, you drive a single horse.
Yes.
Right? And I know that now you're driving a single Morgan, but tell us quickly about the single horse you drove when I first met you, your gray single horse.
We had I was given a Dutch Warmblood because he had issues with the front legs when he was born, and we corrected shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
And we
you got him as a yearling.
Yeah, so right? Wendy and I had a real good time because both of us didn't do that well in dressage, but we always had a very good marathon. So we would catch up to the group. At the lower levels, you could catch up faster.
Right.
And then when we got into cones, we would try to intimidate our competitors because the best gait of my horse was a canter. So we'd canter around getting everybody else and hitting the cones and banging them. And
it
was all part of the game.
I remember I used to be like running around the warm-up field like, Bob, what are you doing? Cones are flying everywhere. I'm setting up all these cones. And you also, when you had a special navigator when you drove with Teddy. So tell us about your navigator.
Oh, my navigator was my daughter, Anna. I have three children, but only one of them is a horsey, and she really is the one that got me interested.
Right.
So she's really my motor person, and I'm the vehicle person.
So you really were a horse dad to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. And somebody gave us a standard bred when she was a little kid for her. Off the track, you know, they love the standard bred, and so we started. They rode like you were on a jackhammer, you know.
Right.
And so it was like on the middle of the railroad tracks on the railroad ties. We really rode rough. It was up and down. It was a pacer. So we got her another pony. I thought, what are we going to do with this standard bred? So I thought, oh, I'm a vehicle person. We'll go around the neighborhood.
Right.
And that's how I got started in driving.
Right.
You know? So we bought a buggy and we're going around the neighborhood too well, but we were going around.
You made it around.
And that was like years ago when Anna was 9. She's 34 now.
That's how I started, not too well.
Yeah.
And what's Anna doing now?
Now, Anna, I gave the horse that I took to Italy. I competed this horse in Italy last year at the World Singles. I was an alternate. I was very fortunate to go. We had a great time. It was worth every penny.
Right.
You know, because most of us support ourselves. Wendy knows it's not a... You know, and hats off to all the competitors that do go because it's really an expense. A lot of them do fundraisers, but it's an expensive deal.
Right.
You know, it cost me, I think, about $20,000 round trip to send the horse over, back, and the two carriages.
It's, you know, we talk about venters and things and dressage riders, but with the carriages, it is so much stuff. Even when you're going to a local show, not only are you going to worry about getting sometimes four horses there for a four in hand, you got to worry about getting the carriage there, the harness there, everything else. So you're taking two vehicles where everybody else would be taking one.
Right.
Absolutely. It also brings up another point. We're always trying to get younger people in. And in Europe, I mean, the families are there with their younger people.
Yeah.
And what we need in the U.S. is to get the interested, to get the kids interested, because you don't have a parent interested. You need trucks, you need trailers, you need...
And, Wendy, I think you'll this. Most kids coming up, teenagers or 20s, think that carriage driving is for old people and it's not, you know, it's kind of boring. Far from it. It can be one of the only things you ever do is on a carriage pulled by Hackney. It can be so exciting. And a matter of fact, so much so that my wife won't ride with me anymore because she's an eventer.
I thought it was for old people too, and then I started showing these old people were kicking my butt. I was like, wow.
Hey, we have to take a break, Marshall.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on here. We appreciate it. And
well,
thank you, Carol Wendy, when she was over there. And
she's a sweetheart. We love her. My wife and I both love her very much.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Bob.
All right. And I apologize to everybody who's listening at home. Jennifer, are you there? Are you able to talk at this point?
I am.
Yeah, I'm cutting out in and out a little bit here and there, and I think it might be our internet connection here at the auction. We're in a big fairground, so we're on wireless, actually. And wireless, so it's a little bit... it's a little bit dodgy at times, but we'll keep coming to you from here. Bear with it. Jennifer said it sort of sounds like AM radio, right?
Yeah, it just reminds me of
AM radio. We are so far from
What was that? What'd you say, Jennifer?
I said it's just like sitting around the talkie box in 19 something or other.
Well, you know, we are at a carriage auction with historical vehicles, so we're just giving you the historical ambiance.
Yeah, some of these are from a long 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's do our commercial for Kentucky Performance Products, our sponsor today, and then we'll get to our next guest.
All horses have individual nutritional needs, and we know that meeting them can be challenging. It doesn't matter if you're a professional horseman or a weekend warrior. you want to provide the nutrition necessary for your horse to thrive. Kentucky Performance Products has the products to help your horse. Horses consuming limited grass due to a busy competition schedule or because of diet restrictions may not be getting enough natural vitamin E. Horses in rigorous training, seniors, broodmares, and stallions often require additional levels of vitamin E to meet their needs. When you need to supplement with natural vitamin E, choose Elevated Maintenance Powder. Affordable, effective, and research-proven, Elevate Maintenance Powder's vitamin E is nature's most powerful antioxidant, protecting your horse on the cellular level. You can get Elevate Maintenance Powder and all their other terrific products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
Very good. I want to introduce our next guest.
Oh, yes.
About 2 inches from the microphone, real close.
Our next guest is actually one of these people that changed my view of driving, who I said, oh, yeah, I thought driving was for little old ladies driving ponies. Why would I want to do that? So this next guest is this little old lady driving a 12-hand pony that I had to get out of ponies because she was kicking my butt at every show, and I was, like, so disheartened. I had to go to draft horses. So our next guest is Linda Ward, and she's from North Carolina, and she has she's famous for her pony Casper to a beautiful Dartmoor gig. She also, not only was she fast, she would win all the turnout classes, too. So she drove a lot of people besides me out of the pony division. But welcome, Linda. Welcome to our...
Thank you, Wendy. Nice to be here. Nice to be here at Martin's today. And I'll have to say, about a lot of the carriages have been come to Martin's since they were in Blue Balls, which is many years ago. And I'm still this little old great granny still driving that pony Casper, and now a granddaughter who can ride Casper. And I've Wendy since she came, met her in good old North Carolina.
When I was in vet school in North
she
Carolina,
was in vet
before I drove.
And that's how she started first driving. Who would have ever dreamed that she would have gone this far?
Aww.
Can't keep up with her today, that's for sure. But anyway, it's just been a pleasure knowing Wendy, and this is great to be able to hear this on ADS, I think.
And, Linda, also, you're saying you're a great-grandma, and some of our listeners say, I can't find this on the Internet, but you have no trouble finding this.
I found it. If I can find it, surely the younger generation can find it.
Right. So catch up, everybody.
Yeah.
She's only fine. We're really making this all up.
Catch up. But anyway, but the driving world, and I'll have to say, went to an auction, and my husband at the time, he said, I'm going to buy that buggy. I said, I'm in a buggy. That's for old people. But that was probably 30 years ago. I caught up with it.
Right.
And so my friend's carriages that I do own, that I...
How many do you own?
Two antique carriages, and, you know, my everyday use and stuff. And the ink one, I had a Dartmoor gig made for my pony, Casper.
It's really beautiful. That's
and a Dartmoor gig is what?
Dartmoor is the name of the company that they're out of business now. It's like a two-wheel carriage. And Linda's carriage is unique in that it's beautifully balanced. Like, you can, it can stand up on its own pretty
balanced. Yeah. And you can adjust the weight depending on the person, whether you have one person in the seat or two.
So it's two-wheel, though.
It's a two-wheel. It's a gig. It's a gig.
So she has it adjusted so that there's no weight in the shafts at all. And then it has a crank so she can change it. So if she has only one person in it, she changes the balance over the axle. So it's perfectly balanced.
And I'll have to say...
Text up.
Yeah. It is, and I think when you see a lot of gigs out here, I think a lot of people tried to copy that.
Yeah,
but I don't think anybody has successful yet.
Yours is also chain axle draft.
No,
right?
No.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not. Mine has springs. It's not a chain. No.
Oh, I see.
Not on that one, but it is adjustable.
What's the difference between a gig and a Meadowbrook cart, which people are familiar with?
Meadowbrook is a death trap, whereas a gig you can get out of it. The biggest difference.
My wife Jennifer would agree with you. We drove a Meadowbrook and booked it out. And the Meadowbrook, yeah, most of them have one of the seats pulls up so you can get in and out. Well, if you get in trouble and there's two people in, it's hard to get out of the thing.
And most people started with a Meadowbrook.
I think we all started with
Meadowbrook. Then
you have a
come
big
on
crash.
Yeah.
I'm never getting in another one of those again.
I had a Meadowbrook with Casper, the first carriage I had, and I went to a clinic, had it for sale. Ran out advertising $500, which is nothing. I didn't have any money in him. He was free. sharp, no nothing backyard pony, and he won everything from Florida to New York. He's been wonderful. And so I wanted to go to the show there, the Carriage Classic, which is still a big pleasure
at the Pinehurst Harness Track.
At the Pinehurst. If you haven't been, you need to go. North Carolina, Pinehurst. Beautiful. And so I came up here and bought an antique carriage and went to that show, and I was grand champion of that show. And so I still have my carriage, and it even has a parasol with it.
Oh, a parasol?
Never drove it with a parasol because it scares everybody else to death.
And that would describe a parasol. It's sort of like an umbrella over your carriage, right? Fancy one.
Yes. With fringe.
With fringe.
And there's some of those here today.
Like a Surrey with a fringe on top. Yep. Everybody's familiar with that for Christmas.
That's right. And this little carriage is a back-to-back trap. So really, you could have like two people in the back.
So what's your favorite? What kind of, you've driven many different kinds of ponies or?
Well, I drove horses before I had that pony, and now I have a Welsh pony.
Okay.
I'm in the pony world. I'm kind of short, and I like the pony world. Carriages are lighter, harnesses lighter.
And you look great in the pony carriages because they're made for little people.
They're made for short people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look too big in them.
Yeah. You wouldn't fit.
No.
Your knees would be under your chin.
Yeah.
Especially the antique.
Yeah.
But I like driving ponies. See, that's my dilemma.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, you need a pair of ponies.
Yeah.
Need a pair of ponies.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Is there anything you have your eye on for buying here while you're here today?
Not really. I guess I've come so many times, but we have to keep looking because it might be that treasure that you just missed.
I found the treasure, but I don't think I can afford it.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And Jennifer posted a picture out of it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. It's the Chuck Wagon. Have you ever seen anything that detailed?
Oh, no, never. I hope to meet the guy that made that. I hope he's here. I'm not sure.
He's supposed to be older. He's like 80 years old.
Oh, it's absolutely spectacular.
And every accoutrement, he has done research. It even has the pistol on the side.
The pistol on the side.
Every cooking utensil, every saw.
It must have taken years to collect all the things that went into this Chuck Wagon. It's just gorgeous.
And he built it from scratch, apparently. This isn't a restoration. This is one he built from scratch.
Yeah,
and it's three-quarter size, so you could pull it with a couple ponies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, by the way, one of our listeners, after Jennifer, you're going to get a chuckle out of this. One of our listeners said an old-fashioned man cave.
Oh, it is an old-fashioned cave. That's what you did before you had man caves. You went out with your chuck.
You went out your chuck
camping.
But looks like they need a woman to wash the dishes.
That's true. I guess you'd follow in your Surrey with the fringe on top to clean up the camp.
Everybody that I know has always wanted to go to a dude ranch and ride, right? And down in Texas or someplace. I want to go to a dude ranch and cook in the chuck wagon because I love to cook. And I just want to try that sometime.
Well, I'm sure somebody's going to be online contacting me.
I know.
They need a cook.
I want to cook in a chuck wagon.
They need a cook, I'm sure.
This is going to go expensive. I wouldn't doubt that one goes $20,000,
$30,000. I hope it does.
It's so unique.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. And pictures don't really do it justice.
That had to take him years to put it. Just to get, it's just beautiful. I just can't say enough about it.
But I just like to say, I don't know, it's not listeners, I guess.
Yeah, listeners.
Listeners? Yep. Okay. If they've never been to Martinsdale, they need to come. It's like going to a museum.
It is, yes.
It's like things from all over the country.
There's a Meadowbrook.
There's a Meadowbrook driving by right now.
Right. So you see your first carriage, and, you know, you see one that's kind of messed up, and you think, I know what happened to that one.
Right. Yeah, that is fun.
You got to find people here to restore them, though. But anyway, if you haven't been to Martins, you really need to come.
And I just have to say, too, I just saw food walk by. We're near the food stand. And one of the things about Martins is they have terrific food because it's mostly Amish food.
It is.
And the chicken soup and the egg sandwiches, they're all just great. They know how to cook.
Yeah, they know how to cook.
Yeah.
But Linda, you're right. It's like a museum. You can walk around and get to know, like Glenn, you were asking about what the buffet is. So you just can walk around, and not only is there all these carriages, but there's all these people that know everything about carriages.
Right.
You know, like, you can ask anybody standing there, like, what is this? And I think that the people here at Martins, I mean, I know Linda and I have been coming here a long time, and it's like a family.
Some of these people you only see when you come to Martinsdale.
Right.
That's why you can't miss it. You see people that you haven't seen in a year because you saw them here last year. And most of the horse world, especially the driving world, because I've always been in the horse world. I grew up with horses. But in the driving world, you have such good friends. Camaraderie, really.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I'm a real southerner, So it was just great to meet Wendy. But, I mean, I've met some of my best friends. I met, like, I mean, people from Kentucky have great friends. I met them in Tennessee at a show, Elizabeth Peoples.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. She's been late, too. So, and
yeah.
Mike Lyon from Florida.
Yeah, Mike Lyon's a National Drive.
Yeah, knew him, been to his place, and he used to have drives at his house.
Oh, that's how the National Drive evolved.
That's how I get started. It was absolutely great. So I went there one time, my husband and I, and he's like, well, I could be the safety person because they didn't know me. They would listen to me.
Oh, yeah.
So we're out in the woods, and we stop and have a rest break. And I'll have to say there were some draft horse people there, and a lot of draft horse people just get out and let the horses stand, like in the field, right? So they start climbing out, and I'm like, hold on. You have to stay in your carriage. That's one of the ADS rules. The driver, you got to stay in your carriage. You can't just let your horses run off if they decide.
Right.
And they're like, oh, no, we do this at home. I said, well, not here. But
yeah.
Anyway, so it worked pretty good.
We have been on carriage drives and we're seeing the horses run off, too.
And it does happen. It
and
does
that's
happen.
Dangerous, by the way.
It does
because,
happen.
You know, it's dangerous enough having a loose horse at an event where one horse is running around. But think about a couple of horses pulling a carriage and you've got all of them running around loose.
That's
right. It's
yeah.
a very dangerous situation.
And also, like, if you fall off your horse, they may just run back to the barn or
right.
eat grass.
Or back to the trailer.
But when they're pulling a carriage, the noise and everything scares them, so they keep running until the carriage is in a million pieces. Or they
we were hearing stories yesterday about cars and parking lots destroyed by runaway horses and carriages at shows. I mean, they'll wreck into cars, and it's just that dangerous. You just don't want it to happen. Now, ladies, I have to talk to you about this because one of the things about carriage driving with the ladies is hats. And I am sitting here looking at a collection of hats, which is set up next to us. By the way, the Carriage Association of America is set up selling books and things beside us. And then it's the hat ladies. Important are hats? The carriage driving.
And you buy a hat first, and then you get your outfit
to match
the hat. You don't get an outfit and hunt a hat.
I'm looking at that tan one at the top with the feathers, and I think that's you, Wendy.
Yeah, I think that's me, too.
I like that one.
But it has to have a little bit of purple in it for Wendy.
Oh, that's true. She's a purple girl.
She's a purple lady, and I like it, too, and I like pink. And that's what's so neat about having different carriages. You wear different hats and a different carriage.
So you have to buy your hat and then buy the carriage to match it?
Well, you can buy your carriage first, and then you get your hat, and then you start going from there. And you also have to.
I was gonna say this could get pay the carriage to match
the
hat.
I never get. I only like black carriages for me because then I can wear any color.
Oh, then you don't clash.
I hate to have a red pinstripe because then what if I want to wear orange? I don't like that.
Favorite little wet cart is right down here, and I that one, the red one down there, because it's so utilitarian, and I really want one of those.
Yeah, but for me, I wouldn't go red because.
Because of a clash.
There would be certain things I couldn't wear.
Because you're limited,
right.
Yeah. You can't wear every color.
What if you wear a green hat? Then you look like you're Santa Claus or something.
So that's why.
Santa Claus, think about it.
And also, DD Wrap, that's where you get your driving aprons. You have to wear an apron.
Well,
required.
And now the apron is a tradition, and it still is a tradition in drives, whether it's competitive drives or pleasure drives. You have to wear, it's like a blanket over your lap.
Keep you clean.
Is that what it was for?
Years ago, just to keep you clean.
So
Feel
you
it.
Wore the apron wrapped around you like an apron.
Yes.
And it was to keep it clean while you were getting the carriage ready and everything. But then you still wore it while you were in the carriage, or did you wear a lap robe?
No, it's the lap robe.
Same thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you wear it while you're driving your carriage, and you also have to have tan leather gloves. Tan only. Tan leather gloves.
And still today, tan leather gloves?
Absolutely.
No matter what, even if you have a purple hat?
Oh, tan leather gloves.
Okay.
Because of the dye on the rein.
And your rein would be tan, not black.
Really?
Yeah. Even though your harness is black.
Well, I was doing it all wrong.
The rein has to be a russet color.
Wear tan leather gloves?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and they also wear aprons.
Yeah, you require apron or lap robe.
Yeah, either one.
So you have to wear apron or lap robe. You have to wear brown gloves, and you have to have a whip. Those are the required things you have to have on the carriage. But you can choose whatever colors you want.
Right.
That's why you never see Scottish guys in kilts driving.
Right.
Yeah.
But they do. They have a lap robe on. And that was to protect you from the road dust.
From the dirt.
So when you get out of the carriage, you can leave your lap robe on the carriage. That's part of your carriage. That's not part of your outfit.
Walking your course or whatever, you especially should leave your lap robe on your carriage.
Right.
You don't walk around with that flapping in the mud.
Well, the auction, I can hear it going on now. I hear the auctioneers kicking in the room next to us. So it's getting exciting. And there are all kinds of carriages and carts driving by us at the very moment because we're in the path for them to get to the auction.
Oh, yeah. So it's exciting to see what's going down.
So we keep getting distracted. We keep having squirrel moments here. Squirrel!
Yeah. Linda, are you bidding on anything today?
Not planning on it, but you never know when you're going to go home
around yet and say, oh, my God, I have to have that.
Well, I really like a lot of the antique pictures.
Yeah, there's a lot of them here.
Oh,
pictures,
yeah.
And paintings.
Pictures.
And,
so
yeah.
I bought a lot of pictures here, and you may buy it for the picture and then take it to
so prices on
really
something like that. Are they? Do things like that go high here, or can you get a bargain?
You can get a bargain.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them aren't framed, and some of them came out of magazines. Some of the I really like the women driving. I'm kind of partial to buying pictures with a woman driving.
I saw, I'm not sure if it was a painting or a picture in there, print, but Jennifer would like it. She's a big fox hunter, and it was the lady who had fallen off in the river in the fox hunt,
That's right.
There were all these guys offering to get her out.
Yeah.
And I just thought that she would like that picture because I think she's seen a few people fall off in rivers. So.
Yeah, that was a great picture.
Well, that'd be a great present.
There you go.
Keep it.
Well, she's listening
her.
Right now, so I blew that one.
Good job. All right, just say you missed it.
I didn't get it. That's right.
Yeah, you missed it.
Well, thank you so much for being on with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So cool to see 29-year-old Bill out beating Wendy.
Yeah,
I love that.
Well, I could compete with her today.
Yes, you could.
No, I couldn't compete with her today, but I have that pony, and he'll be with me forever.
Yeah.
He's absolutely great.
Well,
anyway, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Have a good day.
All right,
great seeing you.
All right,
great
good to see you.
Continue on, because I love this on my computer.
All right, good.
Come on. Fine, look it up.
A listener to the driving radio
thank
show.
Thank you so much.
We have a noisy carriage coming through at this very moment. We'll wait for that one to walk on by. Man, your horse would take off if you heard that coming.
Is
the brakes on? Is that why it's so noisy?
Yeah, I think the axle is bent.
Oh, the axle is bent. Don't buy that one.
That is kind of like the, I think that's a Democrat wagon. I actually think that was Sterling's first marathon carriage. Did you see that?
Yes.
So did you see how it's like that carriage was four wheels, and it was a box and then a seat on top? And that is a very common American carriage of the day. But the thing is, because of the wheels and the box, if you turn too sharp, the wheels hit the box. You turn like a certain radius. Like, you couldn't go on marathon with that. And when Sterling showed me a picture of him going on marathon in that, I thought, are you crazy? But apparently, you know, you got a prize, I think, for finishing without wrecking your carriage on marathon. In the back of the day.
If you didn't die, you got a prize.
Yeah, because, a lot of times they'd have, a little river crossing, and your carriage might or might not make it through the river crossing.
That's right. There's a lot of two, and I want to talk about them when we come back from the break here a little bit. Oh, here's a big, big farm wagon going that would be pulled by draft horses.
In John Deere colors.
And there's the Meadowbrook, what Wendy would describe as a death trap.
That's a modern. Well, how are you going to get out of that when your horse starts bucking? You remember the parade?
I have jumped over the wheel a few times.
How would you like to be in the parade in that with Alfie?
We're going to talk about Pocket Stable here for a minute, and then I want to talk to you about and I know that Alan is going to be checking in. He is our host of the Western Radio Show. He's going to be checking in, and I think the Women's National Finals Rodeo right now.
Right.
So he's going to tell us a little bit about that, and I have a song here for you in a second, too. But I want to talk to you about the wicker carriages. And they're actually made of wicker. They are beautiful. But we'll talk about that in a minute as well. So Pocket Stable is the place. It is the iPhone app that you need to keep track of all of your information about your horses. When you had your farrier last, when you needed worming done, dentist visits, everything like that. And, you know, Wendy is a veterinarian, and she gets those calls, I'm sure, all the time. When did I do this last? When did I do that last? Well, Wendy, you can solve that problem right in your iPhone. Just go to the App Store, look up Pocket Stable, download it for $3.99, and you can keep track of all your horse's information in there. It'll give you reminders when your shots are due. It'll give you reminders when the farrier's due. It's the coolest little application. Tons of our listeners have downloaded it, and they love it. So that's at PocketStable.com.
Glenn, I downloaded Pocket Stable after I heard you and Jamie talking about it a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I love it. I use it for my horses. And also, I recommend it to all my because it is great. It's a great way. everybody has their phone on them, you know, but you don't always have this little piece of paper or the dry erase board, and then somebody walks by and, you know, whatever. It's a great way to keep all that information at hand.
And I think most people try and use their receipts, but then you go to try and find the receipt from the farrier from the last visit, you can't find it. You don't know when he was there last.
Right, right.
So, well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I love it. And it's all thanks. I wouldn't have known about it unless I listened to the courses in the morning.
Well, thank you, Wendy. We're going to take a little break here for a song, and we're going to be back here at the auction. This song is in honor of Alan, who should be checking in with us here shortly, from the rodeo. So I thought, it's a Friday, we need some heavy music, we need to have a little bit of fun, and this is for you, Alan. It's called Rodeo World by Trish Lynn. Hopefully. Maybe if Jennifer can hit play on Rodeo
I'm
World.
I'm pressing the button. I'm pressing the
okay.
button.
Okay. You want me to try?
There it goes.
Oh, there we are.
Howdy, everybody. I'm Bob Dolman. Welcome to Fort Worth, Texas. Now, the higher they jump, the better they buck, the better you ride, the more money to win. It's rodeo time, ladies. Let's ride.
Hey, I'm real proud of the life I'm living. With bad luck, girls, I will keep on giving. Rolling down the road to the next show. It's a big thing we call the rodeo. They ride bulls and broncs from Fort Worth to Austin. My cowboy friends, yeah, they're awesome. It's where the cowgirl chicks ride for the red, white, and blue. It's the rodeo show, rodeo show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west. Kick it up, kick down. Work real hard, yeah, we give our best. You got your bucking shoes, just in boots. Saturday night, yeah, that's what we do. Made in the USA. With a kick of rock. Yeah, I've been to Nashville and had my knock, so I came home where I belong, back to Texas where my roots are strong. And I admit my heart got broke, so I cowgirled up, had my mind made up that I was gonna make it to the real big show.
Rodeo.
It's the rodeo show, rodeo show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west. Kick it up, kick it up.
We're back, and that's Trish Lynn. You can find all of her music at trishlynn.com. And we have our next guest coming up here. Jennifer, Wendy's going to introduce her. Jennifer, I am going to actually head into the auction hall and call in so people can hear the auctioneer going at it in there while Wendy talks to our next guest. So if you see my number pop in there, Jennifer, could you put me on the air? That would be great. So Wendy, take it away, and I'll be right back from inside the auction hall.
All right, Glenn, have fun. Okay, our next guest is Kirsten Bruner. She's from Canada, and she owns and operates Beaverwood Farms Welsh Pony Breeding, and she is a combined driver and also pleasure driver. And welcome to the show, Kirsten.
Thank you for having me, Wendy.
And you are a regular here at Martin's Auction, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been coming down here since the mid-'80s, I guess.
Yeah. And what was, like, your most unique piece that you bought?
Years ago, 20 years ago, I picked up a wagonette down here, an antique German wagonette, and I had it restored, and it went on with me to the World Championships in 97 in Germany.
Oh, really?
So that was quite a nice piece.
And that was the pair world champion?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. So, and what were you driving?
I was driving a pair of homebred Welsh Cob Standardbred crosses that I had bred and raised myself.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was good fun.
And do you, I know you drive ponies now. Do you have ponies that are related to those lines that you...
I do. I still do. Yes.
So
yeah.
Tell us about that. How did you get into the...
Oh, boy. I don't know if you have the hours necessary for the description.
You're so young. How could you have this lifetime experience doing all this
I
stuff?
Started driving in 1981 as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And with a little Welsh pony cross that I picked up at an auction sale and started her myself. And that went on to become the overall grand champion in 86 at Walnut Hill. And then that was Beaverwood Freckles. And then I went off to college and I took the standardbred racing training program. Fell in love with a 2-year-old standardbred mare.
Yeah.
Brought her home because she wasn't fast enough as a racehorse and continued on with her, bred her to a Welsh Cob Stallion.
Yeah.
And eventually had my matched pair of horses that I took to the World Championship.
Oh my God.
In Germany in 97.
That's exciting.
And then went on, qualified for the Canadian team for 2000, which was canceled at Gladstone.
Oh yeah.
For the advanced single horses. That was virtually good.
Hey, Wendy.
Yeah.
A wonderful buckskin.
Hi, Glenn.
Can you hear me? Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear the auctioneer going?
Then
here?
I went to the World Championships in 2002 with Birchley, who's also a Welsh Cob Red Cross. And we ended up 11th there in the world.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations. Okay, hold on just 1 second. I'm trying to get Glenn on here.
Can you hear
Glenn,
me?
Glenn, I can hear you.
Yeah, I assume you can hear the auctioneer in the background. Actually, we have a competition carriage going in here right now. And I'm over here standing behind the old-fashioned man cave, the chuck wagon. Watching the auctioneer, and there is an Amish guy that has been at these auctions since the beginning of time who helps with the auctioneer, and you know who I'm talking about. And, oh, my God, he's getting old now. I haven't seen him in 10 years. So,
who is that?
Amos? Is it Amos? He's been helping out at these auctions forever. But I just wanted you to get the flavor of hearing the auction in the background. Everybody's bidding, and this one's now going for $2,300. So that's what we're at for this competition carriage, and it's my color, Hunter Green.
Are you bidding on anything yet?
No, I have my hands in my pockets because Jennifer will kill me.
Thank you. Well, you're number 260 in case you want to start bidding.
Okay. All right, I'll be back to the table here. I just wanted to get a flavor of it.
All right, bye. Okay, thanks, Glenn. Oh, sorry, Kirsten. We had to take a little break because Glenn's having auction fever. But so also up at Beaverwood Farm, you also do riding ponies, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we started with the success that Freckles had. I bred driving ponies and hunter ponies, and we've had a lot of success with certain bloodlines that we've produced that have won ribbons and done very well at Devon.
Yeah.
On the hunter pony line, we've been very good with hunter ponies as well. Most of my ponies, when they're young, I break them to drive as well as ride. So most of them have dual purposes.
Right.
In fact, the gray mare that I'm competing with right now in the intermediate shows 3 years on the circuit.
Oh, really? I love that gray mare. So beautiful.
That's right, she was good. She was champion at Walnut Hill this last year.
She's the one that's in the picture pulling the candy cart? Is she pulling the candy cart?
She's pulling the candy cart.
We have that up on our Facebook page of the candy cart made by Swanson Chapel. And so your pony, pony is pulling that. You actually the adorable little candy, correct?
Yes, that's Kilby.
And
she's a horsey girl.
She is a horsey girl. And when did you start Kilby driving?
I've got pictures of her with me at Walnut Hill when she was, I think, 9 months old. But actually, she was given special permission by Mr. Bill Renly for Walnut Hill,
mm-hmm.
and she competed at Walnut Hill when she was four.
Oh, that's cute.
She had a little black mini that we had trained, and overgrown mini. He was 10 hands one.
Oh.
And I rode with her, and she actually got a sixth in turnout.
That's cute.
But that's rare to be able to be at an ADS sanctioned show at four.
With a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Have high hopes, and that will be exciting as a mom to have your baby and bred ponies showing out in the horse world.
Is Kilby also ride? Yes, she does. She rides a lot, and she rides on the A circuit with the little bay roan pony that she has at Walnut Hill.
Oh.
And she rides that pony in the short stirrup division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
Shows. And she was actually with me last week in Kentucky at the National Drive.
Right.
And she was riding one of my, we had a pair down there.
Mm-hmm.
So she and I both rode in the afternoon.
Oh.
And she was riding my horse, Stilby.
Yeah.
And we galloped Rolex. So that was kind of fun.
That's so exciting.
No jumps, but we did have one across the cross-country course.
Now, is it difficult for you being up in Canada to do the circuit? I mean, it's hard enough to do one discipline. What is it like to try to be competitive on the hunter circuit and also driving?
It is. I'm often torn between two shows. When I am at home, I don't get to participate as many of the pleasure driving shows, the local schooling shows, as I'd like to.
Right.
I tend to go more of the big driving shows down here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And then at home I do the A circuit with the hunter ponies. But I stick with just the ponies. I don't do horse day.
Yeah.
So with the hunter ponies, they're always on a Friday.
Oh, I
so
see.
Thankfully, I can usually get packed up and off to a driving show for Saturday or Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, Kirsten, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Randy, for having me. It was good fun to have a chat.
Yeah, and good luck with your bidding if you're going to buy anything. So
there's always a couple of nice pony vehicles down here.
Do you have your trailer along?
Yes, of course. I would never go anywhere without a trailer. Are you silly?
And you know what? It always seems like you bring your trailer, and that year you don't buy anything, and then you come back without the trailer, and then you buy three things and have to figure out how to get it home.
Yeah,
you know,
no. You must always go with truck and trailer.
We did it wrong this time.
We're not buying anything. We're not buying anything.
Famous last words of Wendy Ying.
We're not doing it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me.
We appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, we have next we're going to change it up a little bit here from carriages and carriage auctions to Alan's at a little bit different venue right now, Alan Moorhead of the Western Radio Show. And good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning to you, Glenn. Hi, Wendy. How you doing?
Hi, Alan. It's great to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you. We're ready to get Wendy on a barrel horse.
I'm ready.
She'd do it in a minute.
Yeah. She can drive up in her car.
I've got Indian blood in me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got Indian blood in me. I'd be fast. Just give me an Appaloosa and I'm ready.
Go ahead. Where are you at, Alan? I'm in Lincoln, Nebraska, the Women's World Finals Rodeo with the Women's Professional Rodeo Association, and we're having a big time. Championships on the line.
At the Women's Rodeo, what do they compete in? What do they actually do competition-wise?
Well, there was a time, Glenn, that the WPRA basically had rough stock cowgirls. They had some bareback riders and some bull riders. They've kind of fell by the wayside. There's not many that go out and do it, and it's tough to rent stock for that. Here at the Women's World Finals, and folks can find out more about it going on the Internet at www.wpra.com. And we have barrel racing. Right now we're running the Futurity, which is for 4 and 5-year-old horses only. There's like 85 entries.
And that's barrel racing? They're barrel racing?
Yes, sir. That's barrel racing. Three 355-gallon drums, a 165-gallon sprint.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, boy, I'll tell you what, they do fly. It's amazing when you see the world champion, you know, the level caliber you have there today. Those girls are flying with those horses around those barrels.
Oh, exactly right. We've got Wrangler National Finals Rodeo qualifiers that are here. June Holman, one of our senior members of the WPRA from here in Nebraska, her and her famous horse Sparky. She's been through the NFR. Cappy Allen, a WPRA world champion from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, who's also an attorney, a lawyer. She's here. Jill Moody, who was second in the average last year at the NFR, here with Dolly. And we've also got the ropers. The ladies competing tie-down roping, cap roping, breakaway roping,
oh, okay.
and team roping as well. There's a lot of roping going on, a lot of barrel racing. And my son Jacob, he's announcing the roping pen. And I've got the duties of watching all the ladies run barrels.
And are you doing announcing there?
Yeah, I'm announcing the barrel race, and my son's announcing the timed event side, or the, well, that's rodeos, we call it timed event side, but it's he's announcing the breakaway roping, the tie-down roping, as well as the team roping. That's where two ladies work together with a rope to rope steers that are, oh, around 550 to 600 pounds, heading and heeling. And Jackie Hobbs, who we've had on our Western radio show, is here. She's been a world champion many times. Larry D. Guy from Texas. I mean, just some of the best in the business. And they're just having a big time. And there's world titles on the line. And also for your listeners on the driving show, well, this is horses in the morning, they can go to www.barrelhorseworld.com, and we're webcasting all the barrel racing. Right there, sponsored by Schiller Ranch in Texas. If they'd like to see some world-class barrel racing, all they have to do is go to www.barrelhorseworld.com, find the link for the webcast of the Women's World Finals Rodeo.
All right, terrific. Well, Alan, I can tell you have your announcer voice on. You're all sounding official and important.
He does sound really good. Sounds really official.
I'm really impressed. I didn't know your son has taken after the family business.
Well, yeah, he's been helping me out with stuff since, forever. He had his first experiences with announcing things when he was 9 years old, helping him with slack at the rodeos, and he's just kind of taken off of that. And he's more in the management end of things right now. He works at the Resistol Arena, where they have the world famous Mesquite Rodeo that was on television for many years. He's the events manager at that arena. He also does sound production for PBRs. He's just a multi-talented guy. I don't know where he got it from.
I don't know where he got it from either. I think it kind of runs in the family because you have a son that's involved in rodeo in Texas, and you just it seems to run in the family. That's for sure. Your wife, of course, is a barrel racer, right?
Right. She loves to barrel race.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of great little barrel horses, and my youngest son is looking to be a veterinarian. He's in his first year at Auburn University on a complete scholarship, an academic scholarship. And I guess he got smart from me. I don't know.
Well, you might see that. I think the closest thing you're going to see to driving there is you might see a chuck wagon driving through. But that would be about it. And we do have a beautiful chuck wagon here for sale, let me tell you. But it's not the kind they race. This is you wouldn't want to race this one. The guy put too much work into it. So
I like the ones they race, though. Those are the ones that are really fun when they have the chuck wagon race. But we don't have those here at this one this week.
Well, definitely.
Sure.
Well, thank you, Alan, for calling in. We appreciate it. Tell everybody what town and what place you're at again if they want to come visit you.
We're in Lincoln, Nebraska, and it's the Women's World Finals Rodeo with the WPRA, and they can check it all out. Get all your listeners to check it out at www.barrelhorseworld.com. We've got a webcast.
All right, great. Thank you very much, Alan. Well,
thank
you are listening. All right, bye. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. We are live here at Martin's Carriage Auction in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And we are just having a good time over here. And this today is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find them at kppusa.com. They've been a sponsor of ours for almost 3 years now here on the Horse Radio Network, a number of our shows. And we appreciate Karen and the gang over there being part of the Horse Radio Network. Wendy is over trying to lasso the next guest, I think, so she has disappeared on me. But
no,
the carriages
she's not.
Are all...
You think
What's
she's
that?
Over lassoing a guest? She's bidding.
She's making a deal is what she's doing. I have not seen, you said that you saw in the catalog, and I have not seen this one yet, but they're still bringing carriages in this morning. The one that's a, you said it was a gazebo on wheels. And
it's a gazebo.
I have not seen that. Wendy's back here. Have you? Jennifer said that she saw something like a gazebo on wheels. Have you seen that yet?
That's the thing we took our picture in yesterday.
No, she said it looks like a gazebo on a wagon. I haven't seen that.
Gazebo on a wagon.
It doesn't look like a gazebo.
In the catalog,
it is a gazebo on a wagon.
I wasn't.
No, you know what it is? It was probably a picture. There is a gazebo in here, the food stand, and there is wagons
in front of it.
It's in
the catalog. Maybe that was the catalog I was looking at.
What number was
that? That was in the flyer she was looking at, from the, which we don't have. So we'll have to see if we can find that for you, Jennifer. We'll try and locate that. And it was unusual sounding, that's for sure. Wendy and I had our picture taken, and we posted on our Facebook page of us in a beautiful white little Cinderella carriage. Did you see that? Didn't we look like a good couple, Jennifer?
You do look like you're off to a wedding.
I know we did.
Yeah, right, fresh out of the world, that one.
It's all covered in flowers, and it was all pretty. Yeah, I know that you like, Jennifer, like the wicker carriages that are here. There are some beautiful wicker carriages.
Oh,
here.
The wicker carriages are amazing. And you know what else? When I first started driving, I wanted a wicker ladies' phaeton so badly.
And that
so
would be bad. The big one where there's a driver in the front and you sit, the passengers sit sort of in the back.
Yeah, they have that. And then also they have ones where, like, the driver, like, you know, I could drive it and there'd be one seat and then, like, a groom seat in the back. But the thing about the wicker is that to try to get the wicker restored, that's a very lost art. So it's so expensive to get the wicker restored. And at the time, I had goats. So there was, like, way I wanted
your carriage.
To... Yeah, could you imagine if my goats ate my wicker? I mean, it would cost you thousands of dollars to get that restored.
By the way, I wanted to remind everybody that we will not be doing really bad ads right now because obviously we're live at the sale here. But we will be back next week with really bad ads. Jamie will be back, and we will come back to you then. If you have a really bad ad to submit, please submit them to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. Next week, we're giving away a DVD DVD of Buck, the film. So you'll receive your very own copy to have at home, and that's what the winner will receive next week. I don't see it in the flyer where you're looking here,
either.
Jennifer, so we're going to have to look around and see if we see a...
Send us a picture.
Yeah, we'll have to look around and see if we can find one.
You know what, Glenn, I have to tell you, I love really bad ads. First of all, I love Craigslist because I use that as an entertainment source.
Yeah, I think all the people in the horse world do.
You know, I know, it's so hilarious. But not only do I like those ads, but I like the stuff like, you have to go to the section like trade, like people that want to trade.
Trade, yes.
I saw one, it was like, I want to trade all the junk in my yard for all the junk in your yard.
Okay, that's a first on the air. We just had a guy over and ask us where the bathrooms were.
Well, I think we just like the information booth.
That's a first for us. From a live show. That's kind of funny, actually.
Hey, Glenn, when I was gone getting the catalog, did you talk about the cow driving?
No, we didn't talk about the cow driving picture. Where'd you get that, Jennifer?
I came across it. I went to Google Images, and I put carriage Meadowbrook. And it was in there. It's on drivingcow.com, and it's the adventures of this cow that they drive around this little town where they live. So guess who's going to be on your show? Her name's Daisy.
Yeah. Can we get him on? I love that.
We need him. He's driving. He's in a Meadowbrook.
And I think it's my favorite cow, the brown Swiss.
And you know what? If you're in a Meadowbrook driving a cow, I don't know if you'd consider that a death trap.
No, it wouldn't be so bad.
Cow's not going to go anywhere very fast.
Yeah. And I guess that's a little rough on the Meadowbrook. I just have, like, bad experiences myself because I didn't know how to drive when I had the Meadowbrook. Like, now is where I'd be safer, now that I actually know how to drive.
And I think everybody really starts with a Meadowbrook. We did. We had a Meadowbrook because they're inexpensive and they're easy to find. The Amish make a lot of them.
Yeah, and, you know, also from a veterinary standpoint, you know, when I was talking about weekend warrior syndrome, the Meadowbrooks are very good because they're light. They're the lightest carriage you can get pretty much. So if you only drive on the weekends, the Meadowbrook is great because you're not overtaxing your horse.
Well, Jennifer, we're going to wrap it up here shortly from Martin's Carriage Auction here in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, because basically Wendy wants to go bid on some stuff. But I wanted to ask you, you are heading out to see Buck Clinic in Lexington this weekend?
I am. I'm going to audit. I'm going to try to go 2 days because I want to see. I don't know if it's all the same riders each day or if it's different groups of riders each day, but either way, I want to go a couple different days and watch the progression of things. And it's right across the street. I have no excuse.
Well, good. Well, I know there's a lot of people signed up. Matter of fact, on their website, they said, "We are full. Do not call."
Oh, my God.
So full. So they had a lot more. They were trying to find portable bleachers because
wow.
They've got. Since the movie came out, everybody wants to go to the Buck Clinic.
Yeah, well, that's fun.
Yeah.
It should be fun.
So we are going to be doing.
Along.
There you go. We're going to be recording the driving radio show from here this afternoon. That'll come out next Tuesday, so we'll have a new batch of guests for you. So if you want to hear more from Martin's Carriage Auction, join us on the Driving Radio Show at drivingradioshow.com. And, of course, Wendy's on there with me every week. And Jamie, as I said, is off to a competition this weekend with Jet, hoping to survive because she went up a level. So we hope that everybody comes back in one piece, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that on Monday.
What level is she riding?
She's moved up to what, Jennifer?
She's novice now. She was pre-novice last time. She's novice now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he deserved to be a pre-novice. He's kind of a nut job.
Is he a thoroughbred?
Yes. Yeah. But he's getting better. He was a rescue, and he's getting better, and he's doing great. So we hope that they both do well. The best of luck there, Jamie, over in Arizona this weekend. And we're going to sign off from Martin's Carriage Auction here in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and we're going to go in and watch some carriages sell. So have a great weekend, everybody. Have a good time, and we will see you back here live Monday morning, 9 a.m. at Horses in the Morning. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
Bye, Glenn. Thanks.